everyone, and welcome to the Wired Podcast. I'm Rainu Pundit.
And I'm Laura Minton.
And we're medical students at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. We wanted to do something about the fact that despite men and women graduating from medical school at near equivalent rates, only about a quarter of radiologists in the U.S. are women.
So, we created Wired, the Women in Radiology Education Interest Group. Our passion is to support, inspire, and empower women through outreach events, personalized mentorship by connecting residents and attendings to learners, and creating opportunities for hands-on training for pre-medical and medical students to close the gender gap within the specialty.
In the midst of a global pandemic, while everyone felt the burden of isolation, we created a podcast as a means to share incredible stories from our role models in radiology who inspire us daily by consistently paving the way for more representation and inclusion in the field.
It is our hope that by putting a spotlight on these women, this podcast can transform into an act of mentorship in itself by being a forum for the hopes, dreams, failures, and achievements of all women with a passion for radiology. From young, aspiring radiologists to pioneers who are already working to shape the field.
Today, we will be speaking with someone very special to both of us. Not only is she a mentor to us both, but she has played an integral role in both of our decisions to pursue radiology. Dr. Kristen Porter completed her diagnostic radiology residency in the Department of Radiology and Radiological Science at Johns Hopkins Hospital in 2014, and the Body and Cardiovascular MRI Fellowship at Johns Hopkins in 2015.
After training, she joined the faculty at Johns Hopkins in the Body Imaging Division. In 2016, she joined the Abdominal Imaging Faculty at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, where she serves as the MR Modality Chief. She is proud to serve as the President of the American Association for Women in Radiology, and she is a member of the American College of Radiology Commission for Women in Diversity. Hello, Dr. Porter, and thank you so much for being here with us today. We're excited to get to talk, and hopefully this will just be an open space for us to support, inspire, and empower everyone tuning in right now. Can we start by learning more about you?
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for having me this afternoon. I'm very excited to talk to you in the Wired group. My name is Kristen Kelly Porter. I grew up predominantly in Connecticut. My father was in the Coast Guard, so we moved an awful lot when I was younger. I was born in Alaska. I have one brother. He went to Yale Medical School, but is a anatomy and physiology teacher in Fairfield, Connecticut. I am married and I have three children. They're 13, 7, and 3. And I'm an abdominal imager at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, where I'm also the MR modality chief.
That's so amazing. How did you end up in Alabama? Can you tell us a little more about the path that led you here?
Sure. I went to Dartmouth College as an undergrad, and I had been interested in medicine since I was about, well, in the third grade, to be honest with you. I had always been interested in neuroscience, and my grandfather had a glioblastoma when I was 14 years old, and that just solidified my interest in neuro. I went to Dartmouth, and I studied as an undergrad. I was a major in their psychological and brain sciences department and did some of my pre-med requirements. I also very much enjoyed the English department. And so I completed my pre-med requirements in part at the University of Connecticut and Brown University. I went after undergrad and worked at Pfizer in their neuroscience drug discovery division. I wasn't certain how I wanted to take my interest in neuroscience, whether I wanted to do basic science research or go to medical school. I had gotten a little confused then. And then I decided to go back to Dartmouth in their MD-PhD program. And I got a PhD in cognitive neuroscience. And then my husband and I had met at Dartmouth as undergraduates, and he had been working as an investment banker in Boston and received a full ride to go to University of Alabama's law school. And so I looked and transferred to UAB for medical school, which was a great decision because I made several lifelong friends during medical school, and I'm thrilled to be back working with them. I went to medical school at UAB, and then being from Connecticut and having my family in New England, I wasn't certain that I wanted to live that far away from them in Alabama. And so we tried the middle of the country, and I was thrilled to train. I did my residency at Johns Hopkins, and I thought that I was going to do neuroradiology there, but was enticed by body imaging, in particular body MR, and elected to do a body MR and cardiovascular fellowship there. And then came back to Alabama. At that time, we had two children, and my husband was commuting to DC, and that commute was about a 3-hour long commute, and we are better able to both have our careers and be home for dinner living in Birmingham. And so we're excited to be back in Birmingham. And I've been here now it'll be 5 years this summer.
I love that story. We're so lucky to have you here at UAB. When did you decide to pursue radiology, and what led you to that decision?
That's a great question, because I was really interested in neuro, and I thought for a while I was going to do neurosurgery, and then I thought I was going to do neuroradiology. And then I had the opportunity when I was on the neurology rotation at UAB to participate in a multidisciplinary conference with Dr. Joel Carre. And at that time, I became very interested in radiology. I also, at that time, met Dr. Sherry Cannon. She had come and done a lecture for us in our anatomy course. And so between the two of them, I was inspired to pursue radiology. I entered residency thinking I was going to be a neuroradiologist, but like I said, fell in love with body MR.
It's so heartwarming to hear that you were inspired by Dr. Cannon. What a great example of women pulling each other up and inspiring one another.
Hey, Dr. Porter, I know you've mentioned that you're a mother. How have you molded your career to balance that aspect of your life?
I've been very fortunate to get a lot of support in flexible scheduling to make my life possible. So I've tried several different permutations, but with my kids are pretty disparate ages. My 13-year-old is pretty independent and doesn't require the same level of parenting necessarily. Well, that's not true. That's the wrong way. Supervision as my younger kids. But so one of us has to be home. We've had full-time nannies up until this spring, which have also helped as well. But my typical day, I start work typically depending on multidisciplinary conferences. Some of them start early, but that's rare. Usually I start my day at work at 7:30. So I wake up with my children much earlier than that by their choice. And so we get them ready for school. And then I come, I'm here about 7:30. I am on clinical service most days until 2 p.m. And I've negotiated to be 75% part-time. And at 2 p.m. my duties theoretically end, but I'm very involved in national organizations, in particular the American Association for Women in Radiology. I also am proud to be involved in the Alabama Academy of Radiology and the American College of Radiology. And truthfully, I spend from about 2 to 4:30 each day involved in activities related to that. I also very much enjoy the academic side of radiology. And so I enjoy publishing and writing, and I spend some of my time in the afternoons doing that as well. The nice part though, is it gives me the flexibility. I pick my middle son up at usually before 5 most days. Anytime after 5 would be an anomaly. So I leave the hospital usually between 4:15 and 4:30 most days. And I try very hard to preserve my weekends and evenings for family time. Although this year in particular, I'm having, I have more evening obligations related to the American Association for Women in Radiology, but all of those are wonderful engagements, typically related to webinars or these sorts of things. And truthfully, my kids enjoy hearing those as well.
I'm a bit curious, since you mentioned this year and its differences, could you speak about how the COVID pandemic affected you and affected radiology?
Oh, yes. So one of the things that I really enjoy about my job is that I have the opportunity to do procedures. And those of us who did procedures in radiology were in the hospital during the pandemic, which, to be honest with you, was very normalizing for me. So I had a period of about 2 weeks that the department did an excellent job of providing remote stations. And I was one of the first people to have the opportunity to get a remote station. And I was very thankful for that, so we could read at home. However, I have I consider very close working relationship with the MR technologist. And so it was important to me to be back in the hospital as soon as I could be and to figure out a way to do that safely. So between that and the procedures, honestly, I was not out for longer than 2 weeks and have been in person since then. So mercifully, my work life didn't change very much, to be honest with you. But my home life changed because my kids were home from school. And trying to think of how long that was, my husband and I last spring juggled the homeschooling of our kids. I was out 2 weeks, but it was more like 7 weeks with intermittent my coming into the hospital 1 or 2 days a week. And then during that time, we were also simultaneously educating our children, which I don't recommend. There were a lot of balls dropped during that period. Thankfully, after those 7 weeks, our nanny came back full time and helped us with our children's homeschooling. And then summer happened, and that was a lot easier to navigate. My 13-year-old has been home since last March doing remote schooling. That feels safest because his school is a middle school and a high school. And so he has been home, and I'm concerned about the impact on his social development. But other than that, my other two have been in person. I think the biggest issue is this year we were planning to go for the first time to not have a full-time nanny because all of our kids were in school in some form. My daughter, who's the youngest, is in a 3K program, and we still had to maintain a full-time nanny because school kept going in and out.
It's amazing that despite a global pandemic, you still managed to balance your work life and home life so seamlessly. This may be a silly question, but do you love your job?
I love my job. I have days where there are challenges on both sides. I joke that sometimes by Sunday night, I'm like, oh my goodness, please get me to work. And then on Friday, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to have more time at home. But I think that's all very normal. There are certainly areas where I am seeking to improve balance in my life. But in terms of medicine, I can't think of a part of medicine that I would rather be doing. And in terms of a career other than medicine, I haven't found one I'd rather have. Particularly for women, I continue to not fully understand why we're not better represented in radiology, because it provides the opportunity to have many different lifestyles. So right now I've navigated and negotiated such that I'm able to have this balance right now while my kids are younger. But if I wanted to have my work occupy a greater percentage of my daytime, I could do that. And you can negotiate less.
We are totally with you. We don't understand either why women aren't better represented in the field. Hopefully we can change that. Were you ever worried that you wouldn't be able to have the work-life balance that you wanted?
Oh, yes. I mean, training is hard, of course. It was hard being an intern with a one-year-old. It was hard being a pregnant resident. It was hard being a nursing resident. Each step has its challenges. So I found out I was pregnant with my daughter, Meredith, who's my youngest, truthfully, very soon after starting at UAB. And so I was not eligible for family medical leave or parental leave when she was born. Shortly after she was born, I was eligible and took advantage of it. But it's challenging trying to navigate those times of your life. I can't claim I've got it perfectly figured out, but right now, today, at this exact moment, things seem to be going okay in both realms. Now, check in with me in an hour and who knows? You know, these are balls that are very tenuously up in the air. But right now, everything seems to be fairly well balanced. It helps that my children are getting older. And it helps that I'm not in training. I'm very sympathetic, particularly in the American Association of Women in Radiology, to our members in training. Their challenges are very unique, and I'm very sensitive to women who have, and parents who have young children, because their needs are very unique. And it's a short period of time, but it all happens very much simultaneously.
I feel like all of us know that residency and intern year especially are hard enough. I'm amazed at anyone who has balanced that responsibility with the responsibility of being a mother. Looking back at those times, is there anything that you would go back and tell your younger self now, based on wisdom that you gained through your experiences?
Yes, definitely. What comes to mind most acutely, for instance, is when my kids were sick, and they weren't sick very often. Thankfully, they weren't. But it always feels like when they are that you're in it alone, and that calling in has shame with it. And I think I would go back and tell myself, you know, be a little kinder to yourself. All of this is going to work out. You know, I remember when my first week of residency, during the orientation, my oldest son had gotten hand, foot, and mouth disease on the drive up to Baltimore. We didn't know what that was. We just knew that it was a virus, a Coxsackie virus, and he couldn't go to his new daycare. And I was anxious about sending him to the daycare, because that was also a period where we didn't have a full-time nanny, because I was a resident and we were just relying on the family center at Hopkins, and so he couldn't go there. My husband was starting a new job. I was starting a new job. And it felt like, you know, and we didn't have any family support in Baltimore. So it was just a very challenging period of how do we navigate this? You know, who stays home with him? How do we take care of him? And I wish in retrospect, I could have rolled with it a little bit easier. And I try to be supportive to our trainees so that they don't feel that, because truthfully, if your first year, I hope I don't quote me too heavily on this one, but if your first year radiology resident doesn't show up to their first week of orientation, it's pretty much going to be okay. No one's going to die. It's going to be okay. And I wish someone had just told me, you know what? It's going to be okay.
It's so important that faculty members treat the wellness of their trainees as a priority. And honestly, what better way to have an empathetic administration than by having attendings who've actually gone through similar experiences in their past? We love that you have your female trainees' backs. Who are some women who were there for you and inspired you along your journey?
My best friend from medical school, Dr. Ashley Wright, is an OBGYN here at UAB. And while we drifted apart a little bit during residency because of the demands of that and having our first children, I rely very heavily on her. And particularly now, she's definitely my support system now. My middle son and her youngest son, it turns out, are in the same first grade classroom and are serendipitously best friends. And so it's just been wonderful to watch how all that's evolved. And I'm so thankful for her. In terms of mentors and sponsors, Dr. Kasia Matsura from Johns Hopkins has been essential to my career and in helping me and guiding me. She's a mom of two boys who are grown and a new grandmother. And she was just always very kind to me at Hopkins. And she's now currently the chief of MR at, or body MR at Johns Hopkins. And I still love speaking with her. And when I have a question about purchasing equipment or things related to MR, I'm often finding myself saying, what would Kasia do? Of course, Dr. Sherry Cannon, our chair at UAB in radiology, is incredibly inspiring. She has accomplished a great deal, and having her as chair certainly helps my career. And I look up to her very much. I'm sure I'm forgetting people. Oh, you know, I also have to say, I have a great group of friends and colleagues that I am so thankful for at the AAWR, including Dr. Elizabeth Arleo and Dr. Lucy Spoluto and Dr. Amy Patel. And the nice part about them is they're across the country and they were on the board with me at the AAWR in various levels. So Dr. Spoluto is a recent past president, the immediate past president, and Dr. Arleo is a recent past president, and Dr. Patel is the treasurer currently. And they're just a great group. And if I have a question about anything related to the AAWR, I can go to them. And we continue to write papers together in the diversity and inclusion space. I'm just very thankful for them.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned Dr. Spoluto and Dr. Patel, because we actually reached out to both of them for interviews for this podcast. And it's just amazing that you guys are all friends in real life. It's like a giant power group of women.
Yeah, and they're going to be so much more articulate than I am, especially. Yeah. And both of them are so thoughtful. I'm excited to hear their podcasts. And what I love, to be honest with you, about that group of women, Dr. Arleo, Spoluto, and Patel, is we're all different, but in similar life stations. And there's it's all collaborative, right? And supportive. I don't feel any competition in that group. I just feel very supported by them, and I'm very thankful for them. So when you talk to them, be sure to convey that I'm excited to hear their podcast.
I love hearing you say that you all are not competitive with each other. That leads me to my next question of, how do we combat the competitive culture among women and shed light on the idea of having room at the table for all?
I love this question because I think it gets at such important, the imperative of increasing our numbers. So one of the things I found most challenging in radiology is finding myself, like you said, in the women around me and the mentors. And it's hard when there's so few of us to see yourself in the people who are ahead of you. And when you can't see yourself in them, it becomes harder to see yourself becoming them. And so I think the way we solve the competition and just in general, the alienation and the isolation that comes with not feeling like you can see your way is by having more of us. Because if there's more of us, then if you're single and are transgender or married or with children or straight or bi. However you identify, you're more likely to find someone who is similar to you that you can walk through the journey with. And for instance, like all women in radiology with children are not the same. We have different philosophies and approaches. And for instance, I write a lot in the breastfeeding space. You know, people feel very differently about that. And I may put people off by my views, and I would hate for them not to feel welcome in the house of radiology because they're not able to find someone that has similar views to them. So I think the answer to all of it is having more of us.
We totally agree. Honestly, everyone benefits by having a more inclusive table. Speaking of this, have you ever felt like people have tried to attribute your accomplishments and your success to the fact that you're female?
I read this question in advance, and I like this question very much. And I mentioned it to my husband, and he knows that I have done some talks on microaggressions. And I told him when you had mentioned that comment, like you're here because of a diversity hire or something, I said, that's such a microaggression. And he said, Kristen, that's not a microaggression. That's a flat out aggression. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say I've never personally had that said to me. My residency class at Hopkins was overwhelmingly successful and impressive. And I had imposter syndrome in that group, and I was the only female in that group. And so I had those concerns myself, but no one has ever thankfully said it to me. That being said, the nice part about having quantitative metrics is that I could point to those, you know, that would help with that. And I think if we're making the metrics, which we are, and the studies and literature suggest that having diversity increases productivity, then I think that I would address it like a microaggression and say to the person who's saying that, what makes you say that? Right. And turn it back on them. But thankfully, I've never had it, thankfully.
Yes, yes. Microaggressions are much more common than we'd like to think. And honestly, I feel like we all need to be better informed on how to respond, even as a bystander. I admire your method of reflecting it back on them by asking for further clarification. How would you say the culture is at UAB?
We are so fortunate. This, of course, comes from the top. You know, having Dr. Cannon as our chair helps. We have so many women in positions of leadership in our department, not just within the department, but also nationally. One of my beloved sponsors, Desiree Morgan, is currently the president of the Society of Abdominal Radiology, and she is also our vice chair of education, and she sets the tone for this for sure. We have our current vice chair of interventional radiology is Dr. Caridi. She's also a woman. So our chair is a woman. The vice chair in charge of interventional radiology is a woman. Our vice chair of education is a woman. And then of course we have Susie Lappy, who is in charge of our cyclotron facility here. I don't think you're gonna find a department in the country that has the type of female leadership representation that we have here at UAB. And of course, I would be seriously remiss if I didn't mention Jessica Zarzor, our program director for our radiology residency, who sets the tone for our residents and is very mindful about the diversity in our residency program.
Yes, yes, we love to hear about women in leadership roles. How could we move more women into these roles?
Having women in leadership roles helps because then they, you know, inspire and sponsor the women that are coming behind them. But also it's very important to have allies in this space as well, and he, or she representation. And there have been studies that show that women who have male sponsors have increased success. So it's vital that we engage our male colleagues, those of us who are, you know, in, I consider myself mid-career at this point. And so someone who, like myself, it's incumbent upon me to encourage my colleagues to sponsor the women that are coming up the pipeline, because that has shown to be successful. So I think sponsorship and having it be he for she sponsorship in particular is essential.
Yes, yes, absolutely. As one of our resident advisors, Dr. Kathy Chen, always tells us, it's important to use one hand to pull yourself up while always reaching a hand back to help another woman up. If you had one wish for the advancement of women in radiology, what would it be?
So in radiology currently, and Dr. Johnson Lightfoot, just who's the chair of the Commission for Women and Diversity for the American College of Radiology, just recently gave a talk for the AAWR on this. It was excellent. And it showed that we have increasing numbers in our early career and members and training. And everyone thinks that that is encouraging. And I agree with that. However, we also have a leaky pipeline, right? And I think that part of that leaky pipeline is the absence of, or not absence, but decreased support, right? We're doing a great job of encouraging women to go into radiology, albeit not enough, in my opinion, but retaining those women and keeping them in our ranks is vitally important. And this is new news and terribly depressing, but it has been on social media, so I feel like I can bring it up. There was recently a suicide of a woman in our ranks in Wisconsin, who was a mother of three and a radiology resident. And it's heartbreaking. And I don't think that we necessarily have the support for our early career and mid-career women to keep them in the pipeline and to recognize their competing demands. And so I think we need to think about the career trajectory slightly differently in terms of, you know, the tenure clock, academic expectations, partner expectations in private practice, and be more mindful that the trajectory may be different and the longevity in the career may be different, and individualize that better to keep people in the pipeline.
Wow, I appreciate you sharing that story with us, Dr. Porter. It's ironic how it's ingrained in us as people in healthcare that it's incredibly important to provide our patients with unconditional support. Yet it almost seems that we don't place the same importance on ourselves or our own colleagues.
Yes, and as painful as they are to hear, I think that opening conversations about stories like this are so important in progressing the change in the culture and the attitude towards mental health and wellness that we all need. Thank you so much, Dr. Porter, for coming on our episode. We really loved having you, and I'm sure that all of our listeners, even though we're brand new, are going to really appreciate all this insight that you've given into the field.
I am so excited for your brand new group. I can't wait to meet the women that are participating in your group, and as they progress through their medical careers and enter radiology, I hope they'll all reach out, and I would love to come meet them in person once we're able. So thank you for this opportunity, and I'm very honored to have gotten the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this episode of the Wired Podcast. We hope this story opened your eyes to a new role model, piqued your interest in a new career trajectory, or exposed you to the fact that failure and struggle are normal hurdles, even in the paths of the greatest women. Feel free to connect with us on Instagram at @wired.uab. See you next time!
This podcast would not have been possible without the mentorship we've received by our faculty mentor, Dr. Desmond Milner, and resident advisors, Dr. Kathy Chen, Dr. Mary Beth Oglesby, and Dr. Adrian Murray. Thank you.